Welcome to the podcast of Palmetto Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning in. We pray that the following message will help you connect, grow, and serve in your relationship with God and others.
Well, since the first of the year, we've been in a series called 2020 Vision in 2020. It is a series about worldview. And there are a few things we've noted about worldview that I think I need to review each week. One of them is that worldview is the lens through which we see our world. It's the lens through which we see our world. It is the lens not only through which we see our world, but it is the lens through which we understand and interpret and even respond to our world. And everybody has a worldview. Amanda and I have a granddaughter named Bellamy. She's 2 years old. She has a worldview. You better believe that. Miss Billy Joyner, who is our oldest church member, was seated right here on the second row at the 9 o'clock service. She is 97 years old. Miss Billy has a worldview. You better believe that. And everybody in between, all of us here, have a worldview, whether we realize it or not. It's the culmination of all the experiences and the teaching and the reading and the music we've listened to and the programs that we've watched, the movies we've watched, all those things, our faith, our politics, everything feed in to what is our worldview. And one of the things that we've noted is that our worldview, since we are Christians, those of us who've received Christ as our Savior, because we are Christians, our worldview should have a distinctly Christian flavor. It ought to be distinctly Christian. And when I say it ought to be Christian, the main thing that I'm talking about is that however we view our world, it always needs to be filtered through the person, the work, and the teaching of Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing that I will say in this entire series, is that our worldview ought to be filtered through the person, work, and teaching of Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian worldview is. Now, for the past 2 weeks, one of the elements that we talked about that has to do with this Christian worldview is that a Christian worldview is a biblical worldview. It needs to be a biblical worldview. And what I mean by that is, as Christians, we need to filter what we see and how we understand what we see and how we respond to what we see through the lens of Scripture, God's Word. That was the last 2 weeks. Today, I want to deal with another component of a Christian worldview, and that is basically this. A Christian worldview must include an eternal perspective. A Christian worldview must include an eternal perspective. There's a story told about Steve Jobs, the co-founder of Apple. Years ago, when Apple was just a fledgling business operating out of a garage at the end of one of their homes, Steve Jobs decided that he was going to approach John Sculley, who was the president of PepsiCo, Pepsi Cola Company, and try to woo him over to Apple. Now, John Sculley was president of a major corporation. He was making tons of money. He got tons of money in bonuses every year. In fact, his bonus would be more than what most of us would make in our entire lives, and that's in addition to his salary. He had stock advantages. He had all kinds of power and influence, and he just said, "Look, Steve, I appreciate it, but I'm not willing to walk away from what I have here at Pepsi." And Steve Jobs, not willing to take no for an answer, he looked at John Sculley, and here's what he said to him. He said, "John, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugar water, or do you want a chance to change the world?" Do you want to go on spending your life selling sugar water, or do you want a chance to change the world? And with that question ringing in John Sculley's ears, he walked away from PepsiCo and went to work for Steve Jobs at Apple. What Steve Jobs convinced John Sculley to do was to look beyond the here and now moment where John Sculley was at the moment and look beyond it to see what a greater picture showed, what more he could do in his life. Now, the interesting thing about that is what Steve Jobs got Sculley to do was to look on a broader worldly scale than the scale that Sculley was looking at. But there's an even greater scale than the one that Steve Jobs was talking about, and that is an eternal scale, looking at your life, my life, our world, from an eternal perspective or against the backdrop of eternity. Surely, all of us want to make a difference in our world. We want to make a difference beyond just the here and now, just the Instagram moment, the Polaroid moment that we find ourselves in. God encourages us to make an eternal difference, to make decisions and take actions and support things based upon how those things impact eternity. In the book of James, James warns us against having only a here and now perspective. Here's what he says, James chapter 4. Verses 13 through 15, he says, "Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money.'" James says, "Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You are a mist that appears for a little while." I want to change those words just a minute and say, you are a dot, a small dot on the line of forever. I'll explain that in a little bit. You're a small dot on the line of forever. Instead, he says, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. What James is saying to his readers is, look at your life from the standpoint of eternity. Don't look at it as, all right, if I do this, what's the benefit going to be in the next week or two or 3 months or the next year or even 5 or 10 years? But instead, he says, what I'm about to do, how is it going to impact forever, eternity? In Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul has the same sentiment. He says in verse 1, he says, because you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, eternal things, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, eternal things, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So what we need is an eternal perspective, not just a biblical perspective, but an eternal perspective that changes everything about us. It changes how we view life, how we view our trials, how we live our ordinary day-to-day life. An eternal perspective is one that views a much larger picture than the one that we are accustomed to looking at. In fact, it's when we lose sight of eternal things that we often lose our way in life. We become so obsessed with our own struggles, with our own grief, with our own loss, with our own ambitions and our own successes that we lose track of the far more important and the more lasting things around us. Before long, when we're like that, time passes and you realize, like John Sculley, that you've been spending way too much time just selling sugar water. Don't you want to sell more than sugar water? Don't you want to have an eternal impact? Now, let me say a few things about an eternal perspective, an eternal worldview. First, when we think about an eternal perspective, what we're dealing with is both the quality and the length of life, quality and quantity. Normally, when we think about the word eternal, we think it is a word that means the same thing as everlasting. We think that those words are interchangeable. And they are to an extent, because everlasting will always be a part of eternal, but eternal is far more than just the word everlasting. When we think of eternal, it is everlasting in that it lasts forever. When we die, if we're Christians, the last breath here, the next breath in heaven will be with the Lord forever, 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 without end, never end. There is the length, the quantity of life. But eternal also has a qualitative aspect. In other words, it's not just concerned about way out there then in eternity, but it's concerned about the quality of life you have here and now. This is not a prosperity gospel. I'm not saying that if you follow the Lord, you're going to get rich. That's not what this is. Sorry. But I will tell you, there's something far more than becoming financially wealthy. When we follow the Lord wants us to focus on the quality of life. So if we live with an eternal perspective, then we're living in such a way that we ensure our lives here and now are the highest quality they can be. That's in following Christ. But at the same time, it has a quantity aspect, the length of life. We're thinking, okay, how is my decision here and now going to affect my life and my family and my community and my world forever? And it's something that we need to think about. We don't just live in the here and now. The truth is, our human lifespans are just a blip on the timeline of eternity. Just a blip. Billy Joyner, 97 years old. Those 97 years, just a blip on the time frame of eternity. Just a blinking of an eye. And the same is true with all of our lives. In fact, all of our lives put together, if we sat them one after another, as long as that might be, it's still just a blip on the lifespan of eternity. The truth is, we are right now being prepared for eternity. Every experience that we face, every decision we make, whether we live a long life, 97 years, or we live just a few days, the point is this: we are being prepared for eternity. This life prepares us for the real thing. This is just a dress rehearsal. And what we do here determines where we'll be there. And so what we do now in this short blip of time is so very important. Now what difference does an eternal worldview make? Well, first off, an eternal worldview puts our trials in a different light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul mentions this. And as I read this, I want you to think about your own life, especially those of you who are going through some really, really dark struggles. I know what some of your struggles are. Many of you are going through struggles I know nothing about, but you know about them. God knows about them. But I want, as you think about those struggles, listen to what Paul says. Because his verses have to do with looking at our struggles through the vantage point of eternity. For our light and momentary troubles — momentary means temporary — for our light and temporary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all, far outweighs all those struggles. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen here on earth, but on what is unseen, eternal. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So what Paul is saying there is, look, you take your trials. And Paul was someone who had his own share of trials. And there weren't just one or two or three of them. There were a whole bunch of them in his life, even though he was a superstar Christian, or we would think of him as that. But the fact of the matter is this. Paul was saying, look, whatever your struggles are, however strong they are, however heavy your burdens are, they are — and he wasn't minimizing, I know they're serious — but they are nothing in comparison to what's going to happen when you get to eternity. In the first service, Miss Joan Cordell was seated here right behind Miss Billy Joyner. Miss Joan Cordell is a widow. She years ago lost a son. Right now she has three living children, a son and two daughters. Her son Doug was recently diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Now, if you know anything about Lou Gehrig's disease, typical Lou Gehrig's starts out with you losing your ability to control your extremities, your hands, your feet, and then it works its way up until it finally chokes you off. And you normally end up with Lou Gehrig's, you die of suffocation. Doug Cordles is working the opposite direction. It's starting here. And so he can still walk, although his walking is a little more slow, but his speech is slurred, his breathing is labored. This is what Miss Joan Cordles is going through. She's lost one child. She's about to lose her other son. She lost her husband, Jake. She has health concerns of her own. But Miss Joan realizes that as dark and long and hard and heavy as these troubles have been and are for her, they're just a blip. A hard blip, granted that, but they're just a blip. And there will come a time when she'll be in heaven, Doug will be in heaven, all her family be in heaven, and there'll be no more Lou Gehrig's, there'll be no more cancer, there'll be no more accidents, there'll be no more health problems. And that's where she's going to be spending 99.9999999999 to infinity percent of her life. The struggles come in the blip that's only that 0.000001% of all of her life. You see, eternal perspective puts our trials in a different light, a totally different light. And so all of the things that are depressing, all the things that are overwhelming, all the things that hurt us, they don't look quite as monstrous. They don't look quite as big against the backdrop of eternity. Next thing I want to say about an eternal worldview is that it evaluates our current decisions according to how they will affect eternity. This is what Jesus had in mind in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 19, when he said this. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in to steal. Don't do that. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be." My question for you and me is this: where is our treasure? Is it in the here and now only? Or are we willing to lift up our eyes and look beyond the here and now and view our world through the prospect of eternity? This is super important. Because when we make decisions and take actions and support or not support certain issues, we do so when we're looking at the state of eternal perspective. We have to ask ourselves some questions. And there's one question in particular that I think we as Christians ought to ask. And I want you to hear this. Here's the question. What can I do? What actions can I take? What decisions can I make right now that will result in the highest number of people possible going to heaven? Now, I want you to camp out on that question for a few days. What actions can I take, what decisions can I make now that will result in the highest possible number of people going to heaven after all this is over? Now, this is important because, although I'm not going to go into it, let me just say this. There are some things that people, even good Christian people, do with good intentions. There are some things that we do and have done and have supported that will result in millions, if not billions, of people missing out on heaven. So the decisions we make, the actions we take, the things we support or don't support, they make a difference. They make an eternal difference that we should not, cannot avoid. Again, Paul says in Colossians 3, you've been raised with Christ. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is. For you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So set your mind on things above. So we must adjust our thinking to include the vantage point of eternity. And when we do that, we will evaluate our decisions and we will evaluate our actions according to their eternal impact. Final thing I want to say to you about eternal worldview is that an eternal worldview gives us hope for something better. I think that too often you and I, who believe in eternity, act like we don't. We do everything we can to stay here as long as we possibly can. We do everything we can to keep our loved ones here as long as we possibly can. And it is as if, and I realize we do that because we love them. We don't want to be separated from them. I get that. I'm with you there too. But it is almost as if we don't believe in an eternity that is sickness-free, death-free, accident-free, pain-free, trial-free. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. He says, if it is only for this life, if only in this life we have a hope in Christ, we are of all people to be most pitied. But the fact of the matter is, this is not the only life. We have a far more hope in Christ than just the one that is in this life. We have a hope that is anchored in Christ. And so Colossians 3:17 comes to mind again. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do you have an eternal perspective? You probably noticed, I guess you've noticed. Anybody notice there's a rope around here? Yeah. I had 20 people saw that and turned around and walked out. I don't know what's wrong with people these days. This rope. Greg, would you take your rope and just hold it up? Just stand up and hold it up. Mike Gibson, Byron, will y'all hold yours up? Just stand up right there. I've got the beginning of this rope right here. It goes through those three guys' hands and it goes back there to the wall. Y'all go ahead and look at it. I worked too hard to get this up for y'all not to look at it. Good grief. It runs all the way back to the wall to that emergency light. And from the emergency light, it goes over to the exit light. From that light to this side emergency light. And from that one to another emergency light and then out the door. And you folks have no idea where it goes from there. So you're going to have to take my word for it. It goes another 3,000 miles. Actually, it goes more than that. This rope symbolizes eternity. You see this little gold part? Y'all know what that represents? Now already, some of you have tried to jump ahead of me because I can hear what you're thinking and you're thinking, oh, some of you punched your husband or your wife and said, I know what that means. That right there is my human life right there. But it's not. That gold part is all of human history. This is not just your life. This is all of human history. Now, depending on what you believe, you either believe that all this human history is either, some people believe it's 6,000 years long, other people believe it's about 200 million years long. Doesn't matter to me. That's a long time either way. But all of that is in this little gold slide right here. Now, I know what you're thinking. Now, you're asking, well, where am I on this thing? You're right there. Not this red part. There's a little bitty dot right there. You can't see it, but that's where you are. In fact, this little dot is all of us combined. Little bitty dot right there. From birth to death, this little dot is all of us right there, right there. Isn't it amazing how much stress we put ourselves through, how much time we spend working on just that little dot right there? Are you living in the dot or are you living in the rope? All of human history, you're a little dot right there. And at some point, this is going to end. I don't know when. And then all of us who know Christ are going to be in eternity. Doug Cordell will no longer have ALS. There'll be no dementia, no Alzheimer's, no Parkinson's, no cancer. There'll be no heartache. And it'll go forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But all, whether we'll be out there depends on what we do right there. What can you do right now to make sure that you're in heaven right there? And what can you and I do right here, right now, to ensure that the highest number of people possible end up in heaven right here? Folks, eternity is real. What will we do with it? It goes on and on and on. And you can't see the end of it. So here we are on Sunday morning, February the 2nd, Groundhog's Day. It's right there. You and I need a Christian perspective, a Christian worldview that's biblical and that's eternal. Let's pray. Oh Lord, so many times we get up on Monday and we're worried about Monday. Or we'll get up on Tuesday and we're worried about the rest of the week. Or we get up on February the 2nd and we're worried about the rest of February, or the worst rest of 2020. Lord, help us to focus our attention beyond this world, beyond this life, to see that there is an eternity waiting for us that calls us to do something now to be ready for it. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here right now who is not ready for eternity, they'd come to receive you as Savior right now so they'd be ready. But Lord, for those of us who are saved, help us to think about how our actions here and now impact eternity then and there. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.